Good evening and welcome to Song Talk Radio for this Tuesday, July 28th. We are streaming to you live on CJRU, The Scope at Ryerson in Toronto, Canada. Song Talk is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about, guess what, the craft of songwriting. They can be fresh newbies or established professional songwriters. Together we'll share tips, techniques, but not our toothbrush, and all kinds of cool things, and we all become a bit better at writing songs. I'm your host, Bruce Harrett. And joining me tonight are some of the intrepid members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team. Phil Emery.
Hello.
Yeah, there he is. He's on the board, as we call it.
And I'm not bored.
Yeah, and he's on the board. And we're sitting in for Neil Modi tonight, who is away on assignment in, where is he?
Beijing.
Buffalo? I don't know. Janice Ho.
Hello.
Yeah, Janice Ho.
Yay, Janice.
One of the microphones. She has a voice. She's our tweeter regularly, and now she's right in front of the microphone. And don't forget, we love hearing from you, so please send your thoughts, complaints, and corrections to feedback@songtalk.ca. You can find us on Twitter at Song Talk Radio or #SongTalk. During the show, send us your thoughts, and guess what? We will share them in real time. It's really cool if somebody, you know, just sends in a little question and we answer it.
That's right.
We've done that many times.
Yeah, it's kind of like, interactive radio. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio, and now via the iTunes podcast directory.
Ooh. Awesome.
If you like the show, please give us a review there. And what does that do? It helps us get noticed to those browsing iTunes. And stop by our website, songtalk.ca. You can find out how to be a guest on our show. And speaking of guests, we have one.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that cool, Janice?
Oh.
Our guest today is a recovering flower child.
Oh, dear.
He's a retired IT professional. He's a grandfather and sometime songwriter. Mm-hmm. He bought his first guitar when he was 15, when he realized that he and a guitar would get invited to more parties than he would on his own. I'm glad that worked out. He has fond memories of countless hours spent walking through Toronto's Yorkville neighborhood, dropping into the clubs, listening to live music in all those coffee houses like the Purple Onion and the Riverboat and what was the other one?
The Mouse Hole,
really? Yeah. So, I saw Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee there. They were just awesome back in the day.
Was that you?
Yeah, that was me. I was there. His influences include Phil Oakes, Stan Rogers, Eric Clapton, and many wonderful songwriters he's met through the Toronto folk scene. Tonight you will hear three songs, which represent now 70% of his completed songs. And he recently started attending Toronto Songwriters Cafe with the hope that it would stimulate more songwriting. And it has. There are a couple in the works. And I just heard one on Sunday at the Songwriters Roundtable, which we will talk more about later. If past performance is any indication, stand by for a new song in 2017.
Oh, boy.
Please welcome Tony Burns.
Yay! All right.
Thank you.
Yes. Welcome. And that was... You did a really good job writing that. I love it when people have a funny bio because it's more fun.
What do you mean
that
was his publicist, Bruce?
Oh, that was your publicist, I'm sure, Antoinette Burns. So when did you start doing tunes? Was it back in the Yorkville days? Or?
Probably a little embarrassing. I wrote a song in 1963.
Okay.
And to show you how embarrassing it was motivated by the Kennedy assassination, and I have no idea what the tune was, but I know it was terrible. But the words for the verse were, to a town in Dallas in 63, there came a man called Kennedy. To this town in Texas, he was sent to make a speech as president. Oh, 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 oh.
All right. Yeah, a little Neil Young kind of thing.
So, no,
yeah.
Hold on.
No, just
why
a little embarrassing.
Awful? That's not awful. Why was it awful?
That's not awful.
Oh, I guess maybe just saying it's not so bad.
Yeah. You had to be there.
I'm sorry.
That's good fodder. Like, I mean, a big major event like that. I remember I was sitting an exam in grade 7 at the time, and they wouldn't let us, they wouldn't announce it till the exam was over, and then they sent us home. This is how rare it was for shootings in those days. They closed the school, sent everybody home, said, go home and talk to your parents.
Wow.
But anyway, when did you start playing guitar in your teens?
I was already playing guitar for a couple of years at that point.
So when did you get your first guitar? What age were you?
I was 15.
15. Yeah, me
and
too,
a,
yeah.
And a friend had a guitar he wanted to sell, and I had $5, so.
Now, did you want to be a Beatle or to be Eric Clapton at that time?
Good question. I really don't remember. It's so long ago. But probably Peter, Paul, and Mary.
You're in the folk scene.
It was a folk, It was a very folk thing
at the
time.
Well, they were good. They were good. I liked them, too.
And you were singing at that time as well, Tony?
We were all, everybody was singing at that point. That was why it was big. That's why the guitar got you into parties, because if you could play the folk songs, because everybody sang.
Yeah.
Sing-alongs.
Hootenannies and sing-alongs.
Kitchen parties.
Cool.
My parents always had, always sang when their friends were around since I was tiny, so.
Yeah. Oh, they played instruments as well? Oh, just sang a cappella.
Just sang, and everybody did.
Folk type stuff?
We're from Scotland, they immigrated to Canada, to Peterborough, and got in with a lot of people were immigrants at that time in their age range. Mm-hmm. So I remember some of the there was an Italian couple, and we'd go over and Mama Scrisa was there too, and they'd sing "O Sole Mio" and stuff. But that's what people did,
really,
when they got together. They would always break into song somewhere.
Did you sing any Scottish ballads or anything?
No.
From your parents, you didn't learn them from there.
No,
and the Bonnie Bray and the Bonnie Bray.
I don't remember my parents ever singing anything particularly Scottish.
Okay.
I mean, "Over the Sea to Skye" or something, but.
But they just sang whatever songs.
Yeah, my father did amateur musical stuff in the days when you could actually paint your face black.
Oh, yes.
Nobody worried about it.
I went to one of those. It was called the Optimist Club or something like that, and they'd have what were those called? The Mr. Interlocutor, and they'd have. But let's not go into that tonight.
No, that's
a whole other road.
Yeah.
But having all these people singing, though, actually as sort of a part of everyday life, it's kind of nice because people don't do that now.
Yeah.
There's a real separation between people who play music and then people who listen to music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real shame. I think we've lost something.
There is. You have to go. You have to find them. I have a couple of different groups I go to where people sing.
Oh, nice. Oh, nice.
And that's the reason they get together. So.
So that the words will go up on a screen or something.
No.
Everybody knows them, or they hand them out, or
no.
You know.
No, people. Well, there's. You can get into a whole discussion with people about whether or not there should be words handed out.
Oh, okay.
And
is this a meetup?
There's a group that's been going for about 30 years. I didn't meet them until the early 90s, Toronto Song Circle.
Oh, I've heard of them. Toronto Song Circle. Okay, so for your listeners out there, are they open to new people?
They're open to new people. If you have to know somebody who's already going, you have to be invited because the meetings take place in people's homes.
Yeah.
Can you explain exactly what that is?
What it is, what it was, if there's any song circlers listening, there were some of them that will agree with me and some who will disagree.
Oh, no, there's politics, Dennis.
All
right, here we go.
Don't forget to tweet in.
Musically speaking, what happens?
Musically speaking, people get together, and for the first half of the evening, you go around in the circle, and people, each person gets a chance to lead a song if they want to. Or you can pass or say I'll try later or something. They prefer to have songs that have singable choruses or encourage harmony.
Mm-hmm.
When I went originally, there was a lot more a cappella singing than there is now. There are a lot more instruments than now, and that causes questions for some people.
Okay,
but it's still great fun. I mean, people get there because they want. They want to participate. If you're not participating, you shouldn't be going.
Right. Would you take me, Tony?
Sure.
Would you take me home?
Sure.
Will you put you on the spot?
Will you sing?
Because I love singing. I love singing along with other people. We used to do it when I worked at a summer lodge years ago. That's all we do. We would be on our break from our job as waiters or whatever. You know, we just gather in somewhere and get out a guitar and away
we'd
go.
That's so romantic.
I know it's romantic, but it's just fun. It's just such
a great feeling. And you go to these things. You don't have to be able to lead a song or sing a song. You can go and just sing on the choruses and harmonize when you want to.
Lovely.
But if you're not taking part, you're going to feel out of place and you're probably not going to come back.
When my parents were in high school, which was in the 40s, I guess, late 30s, early 40s, they said it was standard to go to somebody's house on a Saturday night. They'd have a piano, and you'd just sing all night.
Absolutely.
That was the entertainment. You made your own fun. You didn't need video games. You just were standing around singing. And I've heard stories back at the turn of the century, too, where that was like a family gathering, reason to gather. It was sing a song.
Well, right? We even did that when I was like a kid within my own family. My dad played the guitar. He knew a lot of folk songs, and me, my sister, and him would just sing, you know, like Sound of Music and all of these. Yeah, and it was fun, and it was, yeah.
I think that brings a family together, doesn't it, in a way? Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
So speaking of songs, perhaps we could hear one of yours.
Sure.
So you brought in three tonight. This first one is called Cookin' Chili. Does it really need an introduction?
Not if people want a surprise, maybe not.
Yeah, let's let it be a surprise. I think it's one of those songs where it's best served fresh.
And
just
hot.
Like chili.
And warm.
And spicy.
And hot and spicy. Yeah.
Okay.
Right, here we go.
Cooking chili, that's what I like to do. Cooking chili, it's a hot spicy stew. Cooking chili, that's what I like to do. I like to spend time cooking chili with you. Let's get our utensils, take the phone off the hook. We don't need no distractions when we're planning to cook. We're gonna stir things up, it gets juicy and hot. When I bring my ladle and you bring your pot, cooking chili, that's what I like to do, cooking chili. It's a hot, spicy stew, cooking chili. That's what I like to do. I like to spend time cooking chili with you. We're gonna stir the pot, baby, slow and firm. I dig deep to the bottom. Swirl and churn, we're gonna spice it, season it. Don't ever stop. Give all our attention to that sweet chili pot. Cooking chili, that's what I like to do. Cooking chili, it's a hot spicy stew. Cooking chili, that's what I like to do. I like to spend time cooking chili with you. I can gather the fixings, take each step in turn. I can follow directions using all that I've learned. Though I can still do it when you ain't at home, it's just not the same when I'm cooking alone. Cooking chili, that's what I like to do. Cooking chili, it's a hot spicy stew. Cooking chili, that's what I like to do. I like to spend time cooking chili with you. You can't rush good cooking, so let's get it right. We can take our time, darling. We can cook all night. When we're done cooking, when we're happy and full, you lick the spoon, baby, and I'll lick the bowl. Cooking chili, that's what I like to do. Cooking chili, it's a hot spicy stew. Cooking chili, that's what I like to do. I like to spend time cooking chili with you.
And that was Cooking Chili, Tony Burns.
It is hot in here.
That is filthy.
It was hot in here already, you know, but now we got chili going. So one thing I noticed, it's really fun, and I love the play on with the metaphor. You just take it everywhere and every which way, right? The cooking and the stirring and the juicy and all that. Is there a genre history of this kind of song that you built it on? Have you listened to tunes like this where there was talks about something and How far back do we go for this kind of song?
I don't know if I have to introduce this to your musical education, Bruce, but all blues songs are about one thing.
Being unhappy, right?
Drinking. Yeah, misery and drinking.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Sex. That's what it is. Yeah.
So I think of this as kind of like Bessie Smith and maybe back early blues, 30s, 40s.
Like, oh, definitely.
The more rougher edge of the blues, like the cleaned up blues that we heard on the radio and stuff, was more what Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan were doing, right?
Yeah.
And they would hint at this. I mean, the thing that I think like to is Birds Do It, Bees Do It. I mean, was that? That was. Was that the brothers who wrote that?
I can't
remember. Oh, we'll find out anyway. Birds do it, bees do it, even...
Educated fleas do it.
I think it's Cole Porter. Let's do it, let's fall in love.
It's Cole Porter.
Yeah, Cole Porter. So certainly there's a history of double entendre, and certainly in the blues when they're singing about getting together with their honey and having...
Jelly rolls.
Whoopee.
Yeah. Jelly rolls. And salty dog.
Yeah, okay, so you know all these guys. So you've taken a little page from their book and done your own version, which is Cookin' Chili. How does it go over when you perform it live?
I've never had a bad response.
There's some laughter.
Nobody's ever walked out or looked disgusted
Do they get amorous at all? Or?
No.
Later, I guess they get amorous.
We got a tweet in from Eric Sorensen. It says, that spicy song, love it. Well done, Tony. Thanks,
Hi.
Eric.
Hi, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
So, Janice, what are you thinking here?
I'm thinking that Mr. Tony Burns is not the man that he looks like.
He looks so innocent, right?
He does.
A grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
Kindly grandfather.
He's got it going on. I love the double entendre, the when I bring my ladle and you bring your pot, we're all laughing in here. Though I can still do it when you ain't at home. It's just not the same when I'm cooking alone. That was brilliant. Now, I'm just curious because there's the chorus, verse, chorus, and so on. Are these all meant to be the same sort of line lengths and timing for the verses? Because I kind of noticed that the last verse, and I don't know if it happened in the other sections, where the last couple lines were just a little bit longer.
I didn't actually plan it that way. It sort of came out that way.
Okay.
And I started with the concept of a 12-bar blues, which it clearly isn't, because when my friends play along with it, there's always places where we get out of sync.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So it isn't that, but... And the last being longer, the last verse we can take our time. The idea is to kind of stretch it out a bit, and then save the last two lines to, knock it home a little
bit.
Right.
And there's a story arc. I mean, you start up. Let's find the utensils. So we're going to start now. Let's cook, and then you reflect. I would have liked a bridge, which would be the doing it alone. I think it would have been great as a bridge. It's a different style, but
it's interesting because the last verse actually almost feels like a bridge, because there's a bit of a melodic shift.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I actually thought it was a verse, although from a choral standpoint, it's the same, but.
Yeah, I mean, we talk a lot about the power of a bridge in a song on the show, and how it gives a break from the repetitiveness. When you set up a repeat chorus, verse chorus, verse chorus, verse chorus, verse chorus, it's ideal for sing-alongs, and maybe not ideal for recording when people may want some surprises, right? But it's certainly a wonderful sing-along song, because everybody could sing the cook and chili.
You can do,
that's what I like to do, cook and chili, everybody. It's so special. And I write songs like this. I love writing songs where there's that everybody sings and then the response, it's a call-response type of thing. Do you get people singing along when you...
I do. And I have to admit, I tend... Because I enjoy going to these places where people sing along, I always four songs. I try to have something so that people can sing along. I'm drawn towards that. So I don't write from a commercial point of view or anything, so the idea of having a bridge or something, if something had a bridge, it would be because it felt like maybe I wanted a bridge there.
Right.
Rather than looking for some kind of framework to fit a song into.
Right. So you're doing this for songwriting circles, or singing circles, and for your friends, and for you, and for fun.
I
it's not
I
about
do.
Commercial writing.
No, it's not about commercial at all.
Yeah. And aside from the song circles, though, do you perform anywhere else?
Until recently, I have said I am not a performer.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly comfortable playing in groups where there are other musicians. I mean, the Songwriters Cafe is fine, doesn't bother me at all.
That is what we're going for.
Almost all the other places I go to, most of the people in the room are playing or are going to play or they're going to take part.
But you don't want to be in the spotlight necessarily.
And only recently I've done a couple of open mics, but I'm not really drawn to that.
Right.
I'm never nervous on stage because I really don't care.
Yeah.
you don't get much juice out of the performing. You could take it or leave it, the performing side.
Yeah, I can take and leave the performing side. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I do get a great ovation, it's fine. But it's, people who seem to, that's a drug for them or something.
Yeah.
That doesn't resonate with
me. You know how brilliant you are. You don't need applause. You don't need applause to confirm that, do you, Janice?
No.
Phil, what's your thoughts here?
Well, it's almost like a traditional song. Like it feels like it would be something that you would see next to it saying, you know, traditional, where they don't really know where it came from. Because it's got that kind of very folky feel to it. Mm. It's great. It sounds so natural and human. The language is so free and, it's got such a strong concept with the cooking. And just, you know, those double entendre things were just brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what double entendres for? Yeah.
Oh, well, it's...
He's going to swear he wrote this straight, yeah.
Well, actually...
I'm a good cook, you know.
Actually, if you read...
Chili is amazing.
If you actually read the lyrics, basically every line is something that could be taken in many ways.
Yeah.
Which, you know, kudos.
And cooking in itself is such a, like, sensuous...
Sensual.
Yes. You know,
yeah.
Yeah.
That and throwing pots, apparently.
Yeah.
So it's in the key of A, for those musicians out there.
Yeah.
And it's a blues in A. It's not perfect 12 bar, but it kind of goes that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've got an A seventh in here, and that's about as crazy as it gets. E flat seventh in the turnaround. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's such an easy
song,
you know.
And easy to sing along with. Mm-hmm.
And it didn't, even though there wasn't a lot of, I mean, there was a variation in your last verse, mm-hmm. which made it sound a bit different. But even though it was really a verse-chorus, the lyrics were so entertaining, I don't think you really got... you felt that it was too long.
That's right.
Yeah. See, I think that's the thing, is if you have a story, you're taking somebody from A to B, you've set the stage of setting them in a world of cooking,
mm-hmm.
with take away whatever they want from that, and then it's just this entertainment of what's he going to say next, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a little risque. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the CRTC will be fine with this, don't you?
I think so.
We'll see if we get any letters. I'd love to get a letter. We don't get any letters. Please tweet us if you found this, you know, too much.
Yes.
But anyway, it's obviously an adult song and fun.
Yeah, this is not too long, but of course you don't want to be too long, because I think we've had a couple of times when people have been at the songwriters meetup, and I remember one time this Sunday fellow had like 12 verses.
Yeah.
And
oh, wow.
It was actually a good story, but it just went on far too
mm-hmm.
long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think you do have to make sure that something isn't too long, and this isn't too long.
How long is the tune? Do you know? Oh, Phil knows. He's got the recording.
It's,
anyway, it's about three and a half, four minutes.
3 minutes, 21 seconds.
Yeah, the thing I would add to the live concert or the live performance, and I don't know if you do this, is put a little kazoo break in there and let everybody. I would give the whole front row. Each a kazoo, like a fresh kazoo, and spend the money on it.
You've been to places where I've been.
Yeah,
I actually have handed out kazoos.
Oh, I love that. Because it gets everybody going.
You don't take them back, though, do you?
No, don't take them.
No,
you don't
want to
take them back.
Don't share a toothbrush or a kazoo, folks.
No. I sell
just
them.
A little warning out there. So now we're just going to take a quick break for station identification, and so you know what show you're listening to. Janice.
Absolutely. Well, for those of you just joining us, you are listening to Song Talk Radio on CJRU, The Scope at Ryerson, with your favorite hosts, Bruce, Phil, and, well, I'm not one of your favorite hosts, but I am your
yes,
guest.
You are.
Co-host Janice, filling in for Neil, who is away on assignment. And our guest tonight is the Tony Burns.
Yay!
Yes, this is the show where songwriters talk to other songwriters about the craft of
songwriting.
We would love for you to send us your impressions via Twitter at Song Talk Radio, or with the hashtag Song Talk, via email at feedback@songtalk.ca. You can hit us up on Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio, or stop by the site at songtalk.ca. And we have some really amazing songwriters coming up here in the studio every Tuesday, 7 to 8 p.m. So next Tuesday, August 4th, we have John Patterson.
Very funny. Puppet guy.
Awesome.
He's Puppet Man.
Tuesday, August the 12th, we have Michael Cooper in the house.
Yes.
And Tuesday, August the 19th, we'll have Caleb Hickelly stopping by.
Ooh.
Yes. Yeah. And don't forget, guys, our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup is Wednesday, August the 19th, 7 to 10 p.m. at the Transat Club on Brunswick, just south of Bloor Street West. Get off that Bathurst subway
station.
Yep,
for your
that's
locals.
Right.
Yeah. And you can sign up at that by going to songtalk.ca/roundtable.
That's right. Bring a song and join us.
That's the link there. Okay. /roundtable. We would like you to sign up on the meetup page, because then we know you're coming, and
that's right,
because you know it's kind of it's free to sign up, and all you do is you enter your name there and then say I'm going to be there.
And what's really cool, there's a bunch of people actually who were sort of talking through the group about collaborating. Collaborating. So
it's a great way to meet other songwriters, get your song out there, get some amazing feedback, and it's such a supportive environment.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
Look what it's done for you.
Exactly.
That's true.
She got a guest spot on Song Talk Radio.
I know.
She became a volunteer at CJRU and now does our social media, and now she's a fill-in host.
There you go.
Oh, my God. Next is CBC.
I think she's gunning for our job.
Yeah. I'm on my way out.
And then I'm taking over the world, boys.
I think she's gunning for our job.
No, she is. She's probably gunning for our job.
All right. Well, back to you, Bruce.
Okay. Thank you. Well, let's continue the merriment with another song from Tony Burns.
Absolutely.
And this one is called Play Me Again. And this has a little bit of the français, un petit peu. And so what was that, the idea here? Challenge yourself, see if you can write a bilingual song? Or
My memory on this is that the idea came originally, I don't know if you're familiar with Corin Raymond.
No.
Who's a local Toronto songwriter, writes some amazing stuff. But he'd written a song called Half Past Remembered that I thoroughly enjoyed. Mm-hmm. It was quite a long song, but it had a very French feel to it.
Corin, C-O-R?
Corin Raymond.
How do you spell Corin?
C-O-R-I-N.
Raymond.
Okay. And
you like that too.
And I went away with that. I actually bought it from him. He had it on CD. He'd only just pressed it.
Wow.
And I took it home. But I liked the French idea, and I thought I'd like to do something with just kind of a French feel.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I sat down with the guitar and tried to come up with something that felt to me like, never having been to France, never having been to Paris, never having, I have no idea about any of that stuff. And having had to go to summer school to complete my grade 12 French, my French is terrible. But
you saw Gigi or something. You must have, must have seen one of those guys, right?
The French by the amount of French that's in this, you'll get an idea.
How much
French I really know.
Okay.
But that was the basis for the what I hoped would be the feel musically.
So I see here it took you 2 years to write it. Was that the French that was such a challenge?
the notes that come along with the lyrics are incredible. They're just so well documented.
Notes?
Yeah.
Started as an idea while driving in March 2006.
Oh, okay.
That's when you wrote the first and second verse.
Yep.
And then the tune came on June 5th, 2008, while vacationing in Lake Simcoe.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to start demanding this level of detail from all our listeners now.
Yeah. Excellent. So why don't we listen to this? This is called Play Me Again by Tony Burns.
Tickle my ivories, mon petit chou. Play on my senses, may we, mon amour. Dark streets, lampposts, walk in the rain. Come to me, play me again. Fingers play strong. Play soft, play fast, play slow, play gentle. The moment must last. Damp and sustain, again and again, the verse. Then the refrain. Temple soars, the temple lags, fingers dance or slow and drag. Passion stops just short of pain, the verse, then the refrain. Tickle my ivories, mon petit chou, play on my senses, mais oui, mon amour. Improvisation, the ebb and the flow, then bask in the sweet afterglow.
Play me again. Tony Burns, 2 years in the writing, and worth every day.
Oh, yes.
Indeed.
Oh, tickle my ivories, mon petit chou. You know, it's really gratifying on a radio station that, you know, is trying to meet its bilingual content. I think we're 1% there.
Yeah, three words here.
That's right.
We got 3 words. But this is a bilingual country, right? There's two national languages.
Oui.
And we forget that there is French, and we're streaming live all throughout the world. So now we've appealed to the people in France.
That's right.
And all the territories
you,
around
Tony
the world.
Thank you, Tony Burns.
Qui parle français. Allô, allô, les Français. Les gens qui parlent français, allô.
And now you just turned whatever.
Oh, come on.
So
that's my bad Canadian accent. But anyway, so here we have another song with some... one story and another story, right? We'll let you start, Janice. You were kind of, you're blushing
giggling?
A little. You're giggling
I'm
and blushing.
I'm blushing here. Yeah. Damn. First of all, this line, play on my senses, I feel that really captures what you've done with the lyrics in terms of creating this sort of imagery, both in terms of the visual, you know, dark streets, walk in the rain, and then, you know, things like the fingers dance, slow and drag, and then you can kind of imagine sort of the feeling of that. So I feel, and this is all throughout all of your songs, is that you have this ability to craft the story where you can really imagine it yourself. You can imagine yourself being in there and you sensing all of these feelings. So that's really cool. I love that. Bruce, I'll let you handle the other part.
Well, no, I was going to say that, you know, one of the, I used to teach creative writing years ago. And one of the things that I talked about a lot was to communicate to all of the senses of the reader,
mm-hmm.
right? So, and with specificity and sensual language. So if you just say, I was sitting in a cafe in a city one afternoon, I was like, okay, but tell me what was really happening. I was sitting in a tiny, dark cafe on a cold, cold afternoon with the sun pouring in the window, sipping a small espresso, you know, one shot of espresso, with the sound of a siren rushing towards me.
Yeah, it really paints the image.
Because of the smoke pouring from the kitchen. And I thought, I think it's time to leave. Now we're interested, right?
Yeah.
The smell of the smoke, the visuals, the sound of the siren. And that's, I think, what Janice is saying here, mm-hmm. is that you're a very good writer, so whether you're going to write a novel or prose or your memoirs or songs, you've got what it takes for me. you've got what you need there.
You're a storyteller.
You're a storyteller,
yes.
Yeah. And using all of the... metaphor, obviously, but also, all of the sensual language. And this is great for songwriters out there, is you're using an auditory medium, right? Use the visual, too.
Mm-hmm.
Paint the picture and hear the sound and the feel. Think of, and even like when you say something like when I first landed in the Rockies for the first time when I was 19 and I was up at 6,000 feet and I stepped out of the truck and I went, pine. It was overwhelming. It was like getting high on pine. It was just this incredible rush of scent. And I was like, and forever that smell is going to take me back to the Rocky Mountains. You know, They say it's one of the most long-lasting sense memories is the sense of smell, olfactory, they call it. Anyway, over to you, Phil. What do you think?
Another great tune. I love the fact that you were combining talking and singing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really effective a method of kind of giving a song a lot of dimension. And you actually have a bridge. Your instrumental interlude definitely has a real clear tonal shift. And that really does cleanse the palate.
Hmm. Where's that? Is that the B minor seventh?
That's the instrumental interlude.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the chord charts.
I'm not sure if I use that.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. But it is slightly different.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely. I noticed that.
Isn't there a German term for that? Sprechensung or something? It's just like an opera.
Yeah. You got all my French, now you want German.
Let's be multilingual.
That's
here,
true.
Because we go worldwide.
Nobody prepared me.
No, it's something like Sprechen. So maybe Michael knows. I don't know. He'll get back to us in 8 seconds.
I love songs that actually talk about songs, or even use that method. It's like where you have the verse and then the refrain, which you use in a couple of lines. That's such a great little tip off to other songwriters to really.
Leonard Cohen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's great. It's really French. Now, did you start off with the concept and then came up with the words and then the melody, or?
What's your process?
I don't have a process. If I had a process, I would have more than four songs.
Okay. What's your non-process?
in this particular case, it is intended to be sensual. There was never any intention, although the parallels there of romantic relationships. But it came from thinking about and ending up anthropomorphizing an instrument.
Okay.
And thinking about a piano, and you see pianos all over the place, and you see beautiful pianos, you see uprights, you see grands, you see baby grands in houses and stuff, and they're marvelous pieces of furniture, and you can just look at them and go, that is amazing. But think for a second what it would be like to be the piano. You know that you've got all this. People admire you, and you're a wonderful, beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But you've got all this potential that can only be released if somebody sits down and plays you.
Nice. Okay, so it's actually sung from a piano's point of view.
The piano player, however you want to think that.
Yeah.
And it's just,
cool.
And those are the, I can imagine the piano sort of going, and finally, just that at the end, the bask in the afterglow, sort of the notes kind of just drift off.
So do you start playing chords on the guitar and then coming up with words on top of that?
I can't remember now. Do my notes say? I can't remember on this one now. Whether I started with.
So you don't have a set way. You don't always start with lyric.
I don't know. I've been thinking about this since going to the meetups actually, and no, I don't start with lyric or with words as a practice.
You start with the guitar.
And where I and where I am now on the song I'm currently working, the one you heard on Sunday. It started with some words, and then it kind of had a tune, and then it had a different tune, and then it had the tune you heard on Sunday,
uh-huh.
and this afternoon it had another tune.
So does this mean that you have a tune in your head? Or do you sort of, does it come out of playing the guitar? Or?
The tune kind of comes after the words, and that's a problem for me because if I sit down and I think I'm writing a song, I end up with a very predictable rhythmic pattern.
Right. Okay.
Oh, okay. And I feel that locks me in, and I hate that. I'd like to know how to break out of that.
Interesting.
I hear you. So Lionel Richie wrote a song called Play Me, didn't he? Play Me.
He may have.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? Play Me. Anyway, that's what comes to mind is that the metaphor of being an instrument of someone else's love and play me kind of like an instrument, like a music. And that connection between the human spirit and the song and the music and that. But now that you've explained that, next time I'm passing a piano, I'll think about what if the piano could sing? Would it go on?
Sitting over there. If it had a finger, it would wiggle it at you. Say, come
I will
and
never look at a piano
and,
the
come
same
and tickle
way again,
my ivories.
Ever.
Yeah.
I have seen some very hot pianos before, now I'm going to be seeing a lot more, I think. Right? So anyway, you obviously have a lot of fun with your songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you, how often, say, a week would you pick up your guitar and sort of noodle around? Is it rare, or are you busy in your retirement now?
It's probably rare, mm-hmm. and I'll go through cycles. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure I've gone as much as a month and not picked it up at all.
Oh, I've gone years. You've never gone years?
And I find if I purposely sit down and try and write something...
Mm. Yeah, you get that mental
there's
block.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
Mm. And I've learned the hard way, and I still don't do it nearly often enough, but stuff comes to me in the middle of the night.
And you don't write it
And if
it down.
I don't write it down
yes.
in the morning...
Always write it down.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Everybody knows. They go, oh, no, I'll never forget this. Yeah. This is brilliant.
But the problem is,
in the morning, all you remember is... I remembered I had something.
And the problem is, like, it's always at the point where you're so comfortable that that it's such an affront to actually have to get out of
That's
bed.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I have
and
a personal
turn the light
assistant.
On and find...
I have a personal assistant who lives in my apartment, and I just say it out loud to him, and he takes notes now. It's very convenient. And or the iPhone.
You have two of them.
Or the iPhone.
One day shift and a night
day
shift
and
one.
Night. No, well, the thing is, there are some people who feel... on the other side of that discussion, that if the idea is strong enough, you will remember it. And if it's not, you won't remember it, and it doesn't really matter. There's lots more ideas. But
I can barely remember my name.
I know,
okay,
yeah.
Well, yeah, so there you go.
I can't buy it.
So this is actually in the song, this part here, right?
No, not in the recording.
Oh, no,
not in the recording.
No,
would you like to speak?
This is
the optional.
So we're
going to
do
coffee and cigarettes.
A third song, which is, you know, three quarters now of Tony's repertoire. And this is going to set up the song. And then we'll just go right into it, Phil.
Okay.
Imagine you walk out into a moonless night in the city just after a rainfall. The street glistens. Light spills from buildings, creating dancing puddles of luminescence. The background is a gray monochrome on the mist. A door beckons with warmth, laughter, and the clatter of dishes. Shall we sit a while? We were at the Ritz. The meal was grand. The band played Gershwin. You held my hand. But formal settings are not for me. I hate superficiality. So let's go somewhere else. Where I can be me, and you can be yourself. Coffee and cigarettes, and talk until dawn, in an old greasy spoon while the jukebox plays on. Lost in our stories as the night drifts along. Coffee and cigarettes, talk until dawn. for mica tops with aluminum trim. White coffee cups with badly chipped rims. The flatware ain't flat, it's twisted and thin. But you and I hardly notice. Coffee and cigarettes and talking till dawn in an old greasy spoon while the jukebox plays on. Lost in our stories as the night drifts along. Coffee and cigarettes, talking till dawn. Late night, there's insomniacs, students and whores. Mornings, it's moms pushing prams across the floor, all looking to feed their bodies and more. While you and I talk of life, coffee and cigarettes and talking till dawn in an old greasy spoon while the jukebox plays on. Lost in our stories as the night drifts along. Coffee and cigarettes, talking till dawn. You tell me your story and I'll tell you mine. Old as the hills and endless as time. In this old greasy spoon, put our souls on the line. While the cook and the waitress ignore us. Coffee and cigarettes and talking till dawn. In an old greasy spoon while the jukebox plays on. Lost in our stories as the night drifts along. Coffee and cigarettes, talking till dawn. Talking till dawn. Talking till dawn. Talking till dawn. Talking till dawn.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Coffee and cigarettes.
Love it.
Yeah. A bygone era from a bygone era.
I was
when
a bit
smoking
disappointed.
Was encouraged.
I was a bit disappointed as it wasn't as dirty as the other one.
Yeah, well,
I don't expect that now.
Smoking is the new dirty, I guess.
Phil, maybe it's just more subtle than the other.
More subtle.
Oh.
Yeah.
Analyze lyrics
yeah.
now.
So, Janice, why don't you lead us off?
Well, again, I would just say the story, the level of storytelling is beautiful. And it's funny because I listened to the song a few times at home, and then at the end of it, I was thinking, well, the song doesn't actually talk about their actual stories. It doesn't talk about who these two people are and what they're talking about. But it actually doesn't matter to me. It's more that I think anybody who listens to this can relate back to, you know, maybe it wasn't necessarily an old greasy spoon that they were in, but just that whole idea of talking with that special someone until the wee hours of the morning and sharing those yeah. stories, putting your souls on the line, beautiful. Mm-hmm. And just, I think it has that ability to just take you back to that nostalgic place that everybody kind of loves and, you know, has fond memories about. So I love that.
Yeah, that was kind of the idea.
Yeah.
It was... Hopefully everybody has a story like that, and a lot of people have come up to me and told me about, you know, that guy or that girl that they met 30 years ago, and
exactly.
they just and it came from the idea of that sort of you meet that person, and it happens almost immediately. It happens within 24 hours. It clicks,
yep.
and you just go and you just talk, and
That's
all of a sudden
right.
you go, oh crap, I had to be at work an hour ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and cool. and so there is a it's a yeah,
yeah.
it has that kind
and
of
you're
thing
singing going. About your wife here, of course.
Of course,
absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely.
It only ever happened once to me.
Yeah, your wife.
It's got some really tasty musical bits too. The in your second line where you walk down from the G to the E,
mm-hmm.
that's really nice. And also the B minor and the E7 when you're going let's go somewhere else, which is nice because that's the only time you actually use that pair of chords, and it was a really nice little.
That's in the intro verse. It didn't.
Yeah.
That wasn't there originally, and the spoken intro part wasn't there originally. This started out with just the chorus.
Oh, really?
I wrote the chorus because I wanted something some people could sing along to. I didn't have anything else. That's fine. This will be one of these songs from the 30s or 40s era where people just know this part, they sing this part, and then they play an instrumental, and then they sing it again.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you go back and look at those songs, there's a couple of wonderful sites out there where they have what was at the time referred to as the verse, which is the intro. And it's sort of completely different from it. And you go, what is this?
And you don't often hear them when people do those songs now.
No, they don't do them now. And then it breaks inside. You go,
that's Gershwin. Right. That's Gershwin. All those boys.
There's a site out there. A guy who has all kinds of those, and it's amazing just to find them.
You don't remember what that is, I guess.
It's called Introverse.
I think is jbot.com.
jbot.com.
His name's Jim Botticelli or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And can I ask, Tony, like, if you spend a lot of time on your lyrics, do you go back and revise and see what's the best way to craft this? Because it's just, I feel like are you just naturally gifted this way?
No. I my songwriting process, once I get something down, revolves around, okay, it's there, but there's something I don't like about it. I don't know what it is. It just doesn't feel right.
Okay.
And I can't spot it sometimes. And then maybe I will spot it, or sometimes I'll pass it off to somebody else and come back and go, what about? And so it's kind of just an organic.
So you'll get feedback from other people sometimes on your.
Not often, but lately I have a friend who's an editor. Actually, has provided some great feedback in the last couple of things I've been working on.
Great.
Are you a writer?
No.
No?
Are you not a professional writer? Is this your hobby?
No.
Well, you're doing really well.
Yeah.
I want to point out something. As someone who's a lyric writer myself, I really appreciate, and we're just going to build on this idea about specificity and sensual writing. So let me point out to the listeners, coffee and cigarettes, there's a taste and a smell, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jukebox plays on. There's the hearing. The band played Gershwin. Mm-hmm. There's the hearing. Visual. Formica, aluminum trim, white coffee cups, twisted flatware, mom's pushing prams.
My wife helped with all that.
So
she's very smart.
So the thing is, like, all the senses are employed. All the senses are there in one song, which is a way. And whether it's intentional or not, what you're doing is you're really painting a picture. More than that, you're doing literature, really, which is allows, just by hearing something or reading something, to go there. Right, to go to that place. Now, to avoid giving you unqualified praise the whole evening, there's one line I'd like you to change, okay? Because I am the cliche police part-time, okay?
Yeah.
As old as the hills.
Yep.
You can do better than that.
Can I?
Yes. Well, look at the writing in here, right?
That wasn't the last line that was changed. The most recent line to change was the late night was changed recently.
What to what?
Which
late night.
Where's that?
Late night, there's insomniacs, students, and whores.
That was changed from...
From what? Was it a cliche?
No. Late night, it's hookers that come through the door.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about cliche just for a moment. It's a very important thing. If you use a cliche in a song, what I say to songwriters who are starting out, have a reason to use it. Put it in quotation marks, or as they used to say, and Joe just said to turn to his friend and said, well, far away fields look greener, don't they, buddy? Yeah, and you're quoting somebody in cliche. Mm. To use it as a lyric, it's best not to, probably. And seeing the quality of your writing, I would say, see if you can come up with something that's
where's
your own.
Where's the cliche?
It's the very last verse. You tell me your story, I'll tell you mine, as old as the hills, as endless as time.
Oh, okay.
But if you replace that, in this old greasy spoon, put our souls on a line, lovely, as the cook and the waitress ignore us. Isn't that just the way?
Yeah.
Isn't that great that they do?
That's the one I don't want to change.
Because the waitress keep coming.
As the cook and waitress ignore us? You wanted to change that one.
No, it's great.
It doesn't get quite the feeling I have across, but I don't know how else to put it, because...
Well,
The cook and the waitress don't really
ignore you, but they're always over there, and they know. They know when the coffee cup is empty.
Right. Yeah.
So it's ignore is not
pretend to ignore.
That made me feel that I don't like that either. You and your companion have been sitting there so many hours that, you know,
you've become part of the wallpaper.
Exactly. Yeah. You're not that revered customer anymore that just walked in.
I did like the rhythm of that line, though, because it actually almost doesn't fit. So you almost sort of throw the line away, which actually kind of really helps with the intimate and sort of very personal sense of the song, because it's not so regimented as, you know, as you've mentioned before.
As the cook and the waitress in Horse.
No, as the, as the ignorers. It's...
Well, what I liked is he didn't rhyme at the end. So he went, in the previous one, went, horse, floor, moor, as you and I talk of life. What? Where did life come from? Mind, time, line, ignore us.
Yeah,
it's
no,
another
it works
surprise.
So well. It is a surprise.
Yeah, like an AAAB rhymes, very rare.
Yeah, no, it's, and it's shows, a nice little tea.
It shows sophistication in the songwriting because you're not falling into cliche, which would be ABAB or AABB or whatever couplets, right? So I like, there's lots of surprises in here. And there's lots of textures from the talking intro. How are we doing time there? We got about five minutes. Yeah. So the talking intro, this partly spoken verbal, and I love these intro verses, whatever that dude calls them. But like Ella Fitzgerald songs, listen to some of her early albums. You know, A B C D F G da 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 D D D 1 2 3 4 5 6 7 da D D D D.
It's always amazing because
they go through this whole thing for 16 bars,
and you wouldn't even recognize it.
And then comes the refrain.
Go, oh yeah, that's what it is.
They're writing songs for me, not for me. And you go, oh, that's the song. I love those old
songs. Exactly.
I love it when I go.
Look up that link.
I will. And when I listen to singers in clubs, and they keep that verse, that intro verse, and they're true to it. It's just such a beautiful piece. It sets context, and I studied them once. And what they do is they have very little variation in tune.
Yeah.
So da 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 do 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 do, and then so that you finish with that. And then they go into the refrain, and that's a great melody swoop, right?
And speaking of the refrain, I think it's...
Is it time to wrap up?
Yes, the band has started.
Oh, okay.
So
all right. Well, you can just play a little music under my voice there.
I think I will.
Oh, okay. Why don't you do that? And, Phil has told us we'd love to stay all night, Tony. But,
indeed.
If we had some coffee, we just wouldn't leave. that's all we have, the time we have tonight on Song Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Harrett, and tonight in the studio has been Phil Emery.
That's me.
And Janice Ho.
Hello.
And thank you, Janice.
Yay, Janice filling in for Neil Modi tonight. And we'd like to thank our guest, Tony Burns, of course, brought
thank
in
you.
Some
Ooh,
thank you, Tony.
Terrific songs.
Thank you.
Where could people hear your music? Is it online anywhere? Or no?
I've got it on SoundCloud, but nobody ever goes there.
Well, SoundCloud.com.
They might now.
They will now.
Tony
Burns. B-U-R-N-S, Mr. Burns. We'd like to thank CJRU, the Scope at Ryerson, for supporting us and loving us in their own special way. And most of all, and we'd like to thank Michael, who's, he's gone. Anyway, Michael's helping us out.
Thank you, Michael.
He's still there. He's a technical
thank you,
technical expert here at CJRU, and we're really happy he's here. And we'd like to thank you, the listener, of course, whether you're listening live tonight on that magic of the internet, or you're listening to our podcast, doesn't matter. And please let us know what you think of us at feedback@songtalk.ca, Twitter @songtalkradio, or #songtalk, on Facebook and YouTube @songtalkradio. Please stop by the website, songtalk.ca, and find out how you can be a guest on our show. Coming up August the 19th, it's a Wednesday, we have our Songwriters Roundtable Cafe thing on Meetup. If you're a Toronto resident and you want to get out there and bring a song and have other people give you feedback in a really warm, supportive way.
Absolutely.
Right, Janice? Come on out. There's beer.
Much beer.
And you can follow Phil on...
That's at Focus Creative, actually.
At Focus Creative.
Yep.
Janice on...
At Janice Ho Tweet.
And Bruce, you just type in the word Nipigon, N-I-P-I-G-O-N, and my name, Bruce Harrett, 2 R's and 2 T's. You will find my album. Have a listen.
Beautiful.
And please keep writing songs.
Keep on writing.
And we'll see you next time. Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night. Good night.